Bobby Armfield, and I represent Carlos Ramirez and his workers' comp carrier in a case involving the death of Jose Fidel Arroyo, which it's a tragic injury that turned out to be fatal, and I think it falls into a place where no presumptions apply in Virginia. And but that being said, I don't think this court really needs to go any further than the fact that the appellant hasn't preserved any issues for appeal. And we made that argument in our brief. Under 5A18, you know, he's got to, I mean, it's the contemporaneous objection rule.
No, but he made a generalized exception, or stated an objection. He didn't. It was generalized, not a particularized objection. But there was an opportunity at the commission level for them to deal with his objections, wasn't there?
Well, I think what happens is, and this court has dealt with this issue a couple of times over the last couple of years. There was one in May of this year, in fact, where that was Donovan versus UPS. And in fact, that was a good friend of mine who wanted to make an argument before this court, and he cited to his request for review of the deputy commissioner's opinion, and the court said that that wasn't good enough. He didn't raise the argument before the full commission. And it cites to another case from 2013 that says, this court said, we don't review opinions of deputy commissioners. We review opinions of the commission. And unless you raise that objection before the full commission, the Donovan opinion indicated that even putting it in your request for review may not be enough. In our case here, as you said, Judge Huff, we have a generic, really, request for review that basically just said, the claimant disagrees with the decision of the deputy commissioner with regard to findings of fact and conclusions of law. It doesn't alert the commission at all to what the objections are. And then he doesn't file a written statement, which, I mean, the only opportunity you've got before the full commission to make your objections known are the written statement, or, I mean, sometimes you have oral argument. That wasn't the case here. But there was no written statement filed. Granted, the full commission, applying its own rule 3.2, sua sponte addressed the issues that are at the core of this case. But I don't think that saves you from your responsibilities under 5A18. And then, you know, under 5A20C, you've got a point to where you raise your objection. The claimant in this case points to an argument on the transcript of the evidentiary hearing before the deputy commissioner. Again, that goes back to, you all don't review decisions of deputy commissioners, and so our position would be whatever you did in front of the deputy commissioner doesn't matter if you didn't bring it up before the full commission. So, I mean, that's just the just sort of the threshold issue that I don't really think this court gets past. But if it does, we can certainly talk about presumptions and the actual risk test.
Well, on the presumption front, and if we can proceed to that, do you agree that 65.2-105 appears to have a gap? If the and this case fits in that gap,
the gap is we've had for many years the Alvis presumption.
Right.
That's the found dead situation,
right.
And that's never been codified by statute. It's well accepted. This man, Mr. Arroyo, was not found dead. He was found around noon, conscious, struggling to get up, you know, kind of babbling incoherently. By 5:55 p.m., he had passed away. So there's the Alvis presumption, and then there's the 65.2-105 presumption that is maybe before this court.
He certainly was medically unable to testify.
He was dead.
Right.
There's a question that I have that the full commission didn't deal with, which is, if you go back and look at the legislative history of that law, as it stood in at the date of this accident, and that was pointed out by the full commission, there's some real mamby-pamby language about work-related. You know, I mean, now it's been amended, so it's arising out of and in the course of the employment right. to sort of match up with the language of compensability. Anyway, when you look back at the legislative history, they actually were originally, they had identical bills in the Senate and the House that were going to codify Alvis by saying found dead and then adding this physically, mentally unable to testify. As it went through committee, the House actually added a provision that said has been killed, which I would submit that if that were the statute enforced at the time of this accident, Mr. Arroyo would be covered because he was killed. I don't think he's covered by medically unable to testify. I mean, the General Assembly has shown us that they know how to include a dead person in this presumption if they want to, and for whatever reason they chose not to. And I don't think you need a doctor's opinion to tell you that someone's incapable of testifying if they're deceased. So that's one of my arguments, is that this covers people who survive to the hearing but can't tell you what happened. Even so, there's another sort of factor that you've got to meet to get into this statutory presumption, which is unrebutted prima facie evidence that the injury was work-related, whatever work-related means. And the full commission found that's the reason they said the presumption didn't apply, there was not unrebutted prima facie evidence of whatever Mr. Arroyo was doing at the time that he got hurt, and therefore no evidence that it was work-related.
But the commission did find, adopting what the deputy commissioner found, that there was an accidental fall, that it resulted in injuries that ultimately resulted in death. The fall occurred at an unguarded elevator shaft on the job during the time of lunch, so he would still be within the work period. Isn't that enough for us to find, as we review it, based on those fact findings, that this was a compensable accident?
It's not enough. It's enough to say in the course of the employment.
Right.
Because I don't think there's any evidence that he's deviated so far from whatever he's supposed to be doing that he's removed himself from the course of. Maybe 10 minutes before he was found by this other contractor, the last place anyone saw him was about 40 feet from this house under construction, on the ground, on a cell phone. I think it was near the Porta Johns or whatever on this construction site. Anyway.
But we find his live body at the bottom of the shaft, mm-hmm. and we know that further up on the shaft at the access points it's unguarded. In fact, there were OSHA sure. violations sure. found because of that defect. Isn't that enough to say that this fall and injury arose out of a risk of employment?
The full commission said that it's not, and I have to agree with them, because no one saw the accident,
right.
obviously.
Right.
No one heard him fall. He's not here to tell us what happened. So the only way you're going to get to the arising out of part, a work-related activity or risk, is with some sort of inference that's where he was going. And
his job had required him to hang, if I recall correctly, he was hanging drywall, in an area adjacent to this unguarded elevator shaft. That's where he was working.
At some point, right. But then, the last place he's seen, he's not doing that. And I think that's what distinguishes this case from the Herndon case, which is the carrying
right.
wood case,
right.
where, and in that situation, the court was in the opposite situation where the commission had found the evidence sufficient to support an inference, and then so this court's analysis was, well, was there credible evidence to support that inference? If so, that finding of fact will stand. The difference between Herndon and this case is the last thing, well, Herndon was alive to testify. The last thing he remembers was carrying wood up to these guys on second floor, whatever floor it was. And so this court found that evidence, and it was corroborated by other people who had seen him at some point earlier in the day doing it, that evidence was enough to support an inference that's what he continued to do until he got hurt. Well, yes, Mr. Arroyo had been hanging drywall up on the third floor, earlier.
Next to the unguarded elevator shaft.
Sure, yeah. But the last thing he was seen doing was not a work-related activity. He's outside on the ground. And so you can't have this sort of continuity that an inference of continuity that Herndon seems to have come up with. Now, I think Herndon was a stretch, but, you know, for the full commission.
I'm sorry. If the last piece of factual information that was known was that he just hadn't come down for lunch yet, and he was up on the third floor, and then the next thing you know, they find him at the bottom of the shaft, would that be a very different situation?
Gets you a lot closer, I think.
That would be Herndon.
That would be
Herndon. I think because,
So your big piece is that the last time he was seen, he was outside on a cell phone.
Right, and there's not even testimony that, okay, the other guys are on the second floor balcony, right? I mean, that's the testimony. We don't know exactly how you get to that second floor balcony. I mean, maybe even if you had evidence that the only way to get from where he was when they saw him to where they were having lunch was to go by that elevator shaft on the second floor to get this balcony. Maybe even if you had that, it would, the reasonable inference would be supported enough that this court would have to affirm it. But I don't think we have that sort of.
This was the lunch hour. The expectation of some of his coworkers were that he was going to join them on the second floor. He didn't. Mm-hmm. Is there anything to suggest that after going to the bathroom facility, making his phone call, that he went back to hanging drywall by himself next to this unguarded elevator shaft?
It's a very short time. I mean, it's like 10 minutes between the time they see him down there on the phone. And they say he was on the phone a lot. I mean, his family's back in Mexico. He used his cell phone a lot on the job. And I don't think that's on the transcript, actually. So I may not be able to speak about that. But that's what they saw him doing. And there's no evidence at all about anything he might have done afterwards. It's just 10 minutes later, this guy's hollering up to them that he's found the guy at the bottom of the elevator shaft. Mm-hmm. So I think my sort of final point, I guess, to the court would be that certainly credible evidence supports the commission's finding that there isn't sufficient evidence to support an inference of what Mr. Arroyo was up to. I mean, we could get into all sorts of speculation about how he ended up down there. I mean, you could jump, you could get pushed, or you could fall accidentally. It may well be what happened, but the full commission deemed that speculative, and so they weren't willing to go that far other than Commissioner Marshall.
Right. All right, any other questions?
No.
Thank you very much. We'll come down and greet you, and then we'll take up the last case of the day, the Clemente versus Commonwealth case.